We turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 25, and we shall read again verses 8 and 9. Psalm 25, verses 8 and 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Amen. In life, we are all learners. That is our experience, is it not? We begin ignorant, knowing nothing, and in our childhood and youth, and through adulthood, we learn more and more. But what do we learn? Well, we learn lessons of life, how to live, to manage, study and work, and relations, and all these things. Things that are needful while we remain in this world. But are we learners as we really need to be learners? Learning the things not so much of life in this world, but those things which concern the life to come. Friends, we must be learners there. And for all the knowledge we might have and even wisdom concerning matters relating to this life, do we have a knowledge that will suit us and will see us prepared for the world to come? And we speak of a saving knowledge. Knowing God, and knowing God in Jesus Christ. Knowing God as the Holy One, but also as the Merciful One. Knowing the way to God, the way of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, here we have God teaching sinners. And God does that, of course, throughout his word. From Genesis to Revelation. But we have here some instruction from God and concerning God. And sinners need to take note of what we have here. And as we're all sinners, what we read here is surely for us all. We have a textbook. It is the Bible. The Bible is the inspired word of God. God gave it. He spoke it forth through prophets and apostles. And he preserved it in writing. And we are able to open its pages and to study it and thereby to learn. We are disciples if we are sitting at the feet of Christ and learning from him. That is what a disciple is. And I trust we would all desire to be disciples of Jesus Christ. What do we have then in our text that may be of help to us and encouragement to us as sinners in a sinful world and to go to eternity? And we know the solemnity of that. And part of it is this: we do not know when we will go to eternity. It will happen in an instant, but when, we cannot say. And wisdom requires that we already know. We do not delay. We do not linger. But we give heed to this great matter, our soul with a coming eternity in view. It is inescapable that we shall depart this world and go into eternity. But all the difference in the destinies of those who leave this world and go into eternity. Heaven and hell. There you have the stark contrast. There is no other place. It is one or the other. And we need to know where we are headed. And God must teach us. He must teach us as sinners. He must instruct us in the way which will lead us to a blessed eternity. Let us begin with our teacher. Our teacher. At the beginning of verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. And he is the one who will teach sinners in the way. To have God as your teacher. What a blessing that is. You can learn much from the creation and from history. The creation, of course, is God's handiwork. He's revealed himself there to know that there is a God and that he is good, powerful, wise, and that he provides for his creatures. What a world God created, so full of variety and beauty. So many different forms of life. And man, the chief form of life. Man with a dignity above any other creature. Man having the capability of knowing God and enjoying God. That is what man is for. You see it in Adam and Eve. There in the garden, the Lord with them. They had fellowship. They had a blessed fellowship with God. He was their joy and their delight. But it did not last. Sin entered in. In the mysterious way it did, a serpent was present, speaking with an audible voice, an understandable voice, and tempting Eve, and then Adam. When Adam sinned, eating the forbidden fruit, that was the test God had set. Your place here in the garden, your relation to me, it depends on your obedience to me. And if you eat that fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you break the covenant I have made with you. And you will die. You will surely die. And there you have the sin, the graver sin, the original sin of Adam, and therefore of man. And so Adam and Eve cast out of the garden, and the way of return barred to them. God demonstrating his righteousness and showing to fallen man that he is now in a lost state. He's undone. He has nothing. He can do nothing. He's banished from God's favor in terms of his condition, his demerit, his guilt. Ah, but the Lord will teach. The Lord will teach through his word. The Lord will make known a provision for sinners. God speaking to our first parents. God then revealing more and more concerning his mercy and his grace. You see, there was a promise made by God. It was spoken immediately after the fall of our first parents. It concerned the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. In the fullness of the time he would come and destroy the works of the devil, pay the price for sin, and reconcile sinners to God. God is our teacher, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ is our teacher. He is the prophet. He is the one through whom the word of God comes to man. Good and upright is the Lord. That is certainly true concerning Jesus Christ. He is God, perfectly good, and he is upright as man, and he walks the walk that we should walk, and he does so all his life. See him there in the Gospels. See him there from birth to death. And you see moral perfection. You see glory given to God. No man, no mere man, since the fall, could do that. All that we see in man, all that God sees is disobedience because of our corrupt nature. But here is the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, a divine person, but having our nature. And he is without sin, and his character is perfect, and his teaching is the teaching we need. You can learn much from teachers. We should be able to respect our teachers in school, university. You respect teachers who know their subject, and you respect them even more when their lives match what they have to say. That's not so applicable in every branch of learning, but in many branches of learning it is. And when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you think of what he taught concerning God, God's character, he taught concerning God's law and the righteousness of it. In every way, what he taught, what he required of others, he himself did. And that is why, for many in Israel, when Christ came, they saw in him something that drew them and attracted them. They knew the teaching of the Pharisees and the scribes. And the teaching was not altogether wrong, but they could not receive it from these men, because these men would lay obligations upon those they taught that they did not keep themselves. They would command things that they did not practice themselves. And in addition, the Pharisees were proud and they were arrogant. There was nothing of mercy there, nothing of human kindness there. But the disciples And others who came to learn of Christ, they saw something different. They saw one who was full of pity and sympathy. One who was patient. One who dealt with sinners, not harshly, not to condemn them, but taught them and taught them the things of the mercy of God. And that is how we should be, making known the gospel, preaching Christ. It's a gracious gospel. It's a gospel for sinners. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed abundant in his grace. He demonstrated that. You see it at Calvary. The one who was rich became poor, that sinners through his poverty might be made rich. There's his poverty, his suffering unto death, bearing the curse in the place of sinners. Good and upright is the Lord. That is so with Jesus Christ. He went about doing good, and in every respect, his life matched what God requires of man. He met the demands of God's justice. Righteousness is there in Jesus Christ, and that righteousness is his righteousness as the mediator between God and men. There you have the gospel, that this man, Christ Jesus, by his life and death, his obedience to God, provides salvation for sinners. And that brings us to our second point. We've noted who our teacher is, and we must now consider who he teaches. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. We are all sinners. There is no doubt about that. And we can say that because we're all the children of Adam. And as Adam was after his sin and fall, so are we. He represented us. Some will deny that. They will say that they're not sinners. They do not do bad things. They live respectably. They do their very best. And they do not wish to hear about sin. Only someone who has a blindness can think like that and speak like that. Because if you ask that person, well, are you saying that you are perfect? Then they will wonder about that, and they will be reluctant to profess that they are perfect, and yet they do not wish to be categorized as sinners. Friends, it is a necessary thing that we make that admission, that confession. There is never salvation without this confession of personal sin. And when the Lord is teaching, and when the Lord is teaching sinners, everything becomes personal. It's not that we are sinners generally, because everyone is a sinner. It is that we are sinners individually, We have done this thing and that thing. We have done those things many times. And all these things are on record. And they're known to God. And there is no profit in hiding from that fact or seeking to deny it. We need to be taught, because we are sinners, and because we are sinners, we are ignorant and out of the way. That is a fact. Christ himself spoke of two ways. The broad way that leads to destruction, the narrow way that leads to life. And in Christ's teaching, all are naturally on the broad way. And so all are headed to destruction. They need to be brought out of the broad way and into the narrow way. And the gospel speaks of these things. The gospel teaches us that we require a new beginning. The new birth was something that Nicodemus was ignorant of, though a well-taught man, schooled, no doubt, by the Pharisees and other teachers. And yet he did not know God, not in a saving way. And it was from the lips of the Lord Jesus that Nicodemus learned that he needed to be born again. And that's something that has to be taught today. You can go to many places of worship and you will never hear anything about the new birth or spiritual regeneration. You just be told to believe in Jesus. But why do I need to believe in Jesus? And how can I believe in Jesus when I am dead in sin? Because that's what we are. The only answer to one who's dead in sin is to make that person alive. That is not of one's own doing. And it's not something any preacher can bring about. But the Lord himself, through the gospel, by his Spirit, gives new life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. Far off from God, that is where the fall has left us. There is this chasm between God in his perfect holiness and righteousness and ourselves in our sin and unrighteousness. How can that chasm be breached? It can only be by one who is himself God and man. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Is he teaching you? Is he instructing your mind? And is he working by his Spirit to soften you within, so that you yield to the things that you hear, you receive them, and you desire to know more concerning them? The Lord Jesus teaches. He teaches sinners in such a way that they do receive his teaching. When he will bless a sinner, he'll open the understanding. He'll give light. He'll make the sinner wise unto salvation through faith in himself. And we need that. It may be that we're out of the church and we need to learn the very first things concerning the Word of God. You think of someone like the Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't have the upbringing, didn't have the knowledge, but in some way the Lord reached him, and he became intrigued by the God of Israel, Jehovah, and he sought to acquaint himself with that God and with his people. And you read of him in Acts chapter 8. He's there in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. And he seems to see things and hear things there. And he's going back to his homeland in his chariot. And he's reading from Isaiah. But he can't understand what he's reading. And the Lord sends Philip. Philip meets him. And from that same portion in Isaiah, he preaches Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Lord works there and then. It was chapter 53. That glorious chapter concerning Christ crucified. It's so plain that you could almost think it was part of the New Testament itself. And we learn there, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Have you learned that? Has the Lord taught you that? That this is our redemption. That Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, suffered in the place of sinners to take away their sin. We may be in the church. In the following chapter in Acts, you have Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee, and again, well schooled in the things of the Jewish religion, but not savingly. And he's a persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ, because like the Jews in general, and the Pharisees in particular, he denies that Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord's anointed. But that will change. Christ will meet him, even as he is on the way to Damascus, to deal cruelly with the followers of Christ. And Christ will bring Saul to his knees. There will be conviction of sin. That man will be crying out. He knows he's in the presence of the Most High. The glory of the Lord is there. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That's what he was doing. The pricks of conscience. But that was the Lord teaching him, bringing him to an end of himself. And Saul of Tarsus was converted to Christ and became a mighty servant of the Lord. Our teacher, Jesus Christ, who he teaches sinners of mankind, what he teaches. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. In the way. What is the way that is mentioned here? the way to God, the way to eternal life. That's the way. We spoke of the broad way, the narrow way. We need to be taught by Jesus Christ to leave the broad way and to enter into the narrow way. And we need to be taught not just by the letter of Scripture, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are just hearing these things from a preacher, you will not be changed, so moved and enabled as to do what the Lord is calling you to do. But if Christ Himself teaches, if His Spirit works, then there will be a power in the gospel, and it will bring you out of the broad way, and you'll be going through the straight gate, the new birth, into the narrow way, that way that leads unto life. And you'll be doing that with one thought: Christ. He alone can help. He alone can save. I need Christ. I must follow Christ. I must trust in Him. Depend upon Him. He has the righteousness that I need. He has the blood, He shed it on the cross, that I need, that my sins might be forgiven, that I might be on right terms with God. Christ is the way. By His grace, He brings us to Himself, to believe in Him, repenting of our sin, and to walk with Him. Christ is the Good Shepherd. We know that Jesus Christ teaches perfectly, but He teaches, and this is humbly, through those whom He raises up to minister His word. He will teach through the words of a man who seeks to make known the Scriptures concerning Christ. And every preacher has his failings, and there's much that needs to be hidden. But Christ will use the Word. God's Word read, God's Word proclaimed. That is a mighty instrument in the hands of the Lord. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What do we need to know? Such that the gospel is the answer. Well, we need to know that God is holy, righteous. He is a purer eyes than to behold evil, and He cannot look with favor upon iniquity. And that means your iniquity, my iniquity. And we need to know that we are sinners, such sinners that we cannot bring forth anything good. There are no works that we can perform which God will accept as the ground of reconciliation with Himself, as the ground of granting us eternal life. He's perfect in holiness. We are holy sinners. And the gospel then is the answer. Do you see that? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ has come between. Christ has laid a hand upon both parties, God and men. Christ in himself, by his obedience, has brought the two together. That is the wonder of Calvary's cross. There the sinless Son of God, nailed to that tree, suffered to the fullest extent, suffered sufficiently to take away all the sin of all his people. Because he's man, he was under the law, keeping the law, and suffering its penalty. Because he is God, all that he did has infinite worth. And it needs the opening of our eyes to grasp that. We are so ignorant. We need to be taught. How is it with you here this evening? What do these things mean to you? Can you say that there is a desire in your heart for Christ? Can you say that you have come to him? Has there been genuine repentance? Is there genuine faith? Holy God! You are a sinner before a holy God. Christ is the answer. Christ crucified. The perfect answer. We know that God approved what his Son performed. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Or to hear him, to learn from him, to know him, and to follow him. He teaches sinners in the way of salvation, eternal life, which is faith in Christ, hanging on to Christ as our righteousness and nothing of ourselves. Finally, how he teaches. How he teaches. In verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. We mentioned that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And here we have the meek. And if you consider the sheep, you know that it is a meek sort of creature. It follows, it's guided, it flocks together. There's a character in that creature that is one that we need, and by nature we're not meek. We're stubborn, we're independent, we'll do our own thing, we'll not be told what to do, and that can so often bring us into difficulty. Not heeding the lessons that parents teach, or what we have in school, in our education, and above all, not heeding what we're taught out of the Word of God. Many go astray in their childhood. Many leave the parental home, and whatever good they've learned concerning the Bible and the truth of the gospel, it's not for them now. They'll make their own way in the world. Well, Christ makes his people meek, submissive to himself. He takes away the pride of our own achievements, the pride of our own worth. He takes that away. He strips us of it, and we see that we have nothing. We understand that we're sinners through and through. And Christ is doing that so that we will be willing to put all our trust in him, to follow him, to have him as our righteousness before God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. You have these things in the Beatitudes. Promises are made to them. Promises concerning salvation. And we need this meekness. It's by grace and the work of God's Spirit. Christ's people are meek. They look up to Christ. They desire to be taught by him, guided by him. They are in every way dependent upon him. Our need of forgiveness. Forgiveness from God. Who can tell all the sin that each one of us has committed? We do not know it. Only God does. And here is the wonder. All the sin of his people was laid upon his Son, upon Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, who died in the place of his sheep, and because of his death, there is reconciliation for them. Ignorant and out of the way, in time they are brought into the way. They bow down before the Lord. They confess their sin with a true sorrow. And they beseech the Lord to pardon their iniquity. And thereafter, as forgiven, they go with Christ and they follow him in the paths of righteousness. That is their desire. For they long to be with him, to spend eternity with him. They are his people. He loves them dearly, and they love him in return. God teaching sinners, teaching them through Jesus Christ, that they might come to him and be found as his followers. Do we know what it is to be followers of Christ, his people, for time and eternity? May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. we pray, for light from thy word to enter into our hearts and minds, and that more and more, that we would know this good shepherd, that we would be among those who follow him and stick close to him, who are instructed day and daily in the things of God, the things of eternity. We bless thy name for the understanding we get when the word comes with power. May it be so this night that the things we have considered would remain with us, and that any who are ignorant and out of the way will be instructed and brought in as followers of Christ. Forgive all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.